something that was static on one vehicle.
Okay. Do you think the roll number helps?
I don't think the roll number is important. It might just be for office use. I think just the name and address. Roll number.
I don't think the roll number. That's again, that was the car that we had for forever.
Yeah.
I don't think that the roll number is really important. The name, the civic number.
I'm just thinking now that maybe they had that on there to ensure that when they were going through the list and preparing the cards, that they weren't duplicating.
Maybe.
So, or missing someone.
Yeah,
so
maybe originally that might have been it. But during a regular season when we were using those cards, yeah, we would have people that would come in that they'd lost their cards.
Sure.
The majority of them would be people who have just purchased.
Mm.
You know, the people who have sold, they're not, the last thing they're thinking about is their dump card, right?
Yeah.
And so when new people would come in, they would get them. But yeah, just to have to reissue those right from scratch is going to be a big job. But I mean, we wouldn't know who's kept them and who hasn't.
And I thought about that. You know, there are ways that you can do this, is sort of new builds, new property owners. The most recent ones work backwards.
Yep.
And so that you're ensuring that, you know, that these are duly, so that was, I was thinking so that you don't have to deal with, you know, 1,500 right at once. You work backwards and you sort of have a bit of a work plan that, you know, you try to do 100 per month or 100 per week so that, you know, after...
Can I suggest, and I used to do this for all kinds of things. I mean, if we were to print these on labels that we attach to a colored card, then you could use mail merge. In other words, you could use a combination of Excel and Word to do this, presuming that the tax database would let us get at least name and address, not more, and just print them off and then stick the label either on the front or the back or whatever works, right? But then that would minimize the staff work to do it. Right, because you could run them all at mass and then do a mass mailing, although the cost for the mass mailing is not insubstantial. But
yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. There must be some software that you could use now where someone, when this was first implemented, it was all done by two staff members, maybe one staff member by hand, you know, so.
With a hammer and slate?
Yeah, exactly.
Is yours the same, David? Because mine looks more like yours. Mine doesn't have all the same stuff that Mike's.
It's pretty well the same. Mine's, it's either 01 or 06. I can't remember. But, but yeah, and I haven't put it in plastic. I kept it in my wallet. But plastic makes sense. Yeah.
But does it have your name? And
yeah, it's got name, property address, the roll number issued by, and the date, the vehicle license number, and the dump hours on the back, which are subject to change. So that's questionable.
Yeah.
But,
but I mean, we could do that, and it's, I don't know. I'm sure you know how to do mail merge, do you? No, seriously? It was one of the first things that connected those two products for Microsoft. So you just have an Excel file here with the different fields in it, and then you create in Word, like the total print. I could print this whole page and just fill it in the middle, for example, with unique details, and it just feeds in. And
volunteer here?
I would actually volunteer to come and do it.
Come and
really would. So.
If we go that route.
If you want to go that route. But there is still, I mean, the cost factor or whatever. And truthfully, I mean, I was the one that asked Carly about the ones that would hang off the mirror, because at least then I would know where it was, right? And for me, at least, I would very unlikely ever take it out. So it would just stay there, and that's the way I would know where it was. But if I had it in my wallet 90% of the time, I don't even carry a wallet, so...
When you're driving?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
There's legislation.
I won't ask anything more.
No, I've got it on my phone, but I don't have it with me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have my phone with me, but I don't have the physical card with me. And you can do that with your health card, too, even if people tell you you can't, so...
But that's what people would have. A lot of times people would put a string through here,
sure,
have it on their mirror.
Sure.
Some people actually had it like this, you know, like a name tag.
And they had to look at it often to make sure what their name was. Yeah. So.
Yeah. A lot of times when we would issue them, I would tell people, because they got two when they were initially issued a new person, and I would tell them, keep one in your cottage, specifically if it was a cottage, because you didn't know who was there. I said, throw the other one at the very least keep it in your glove box.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At least you know it's there.
But I guess, I mean, the cards that they quoted on here, I mean, they're some kind of plastic or plasticized cardboard, Carly, do you know?
Yeah, it's similar to White Stones. It's a plastic card that's can't tear and is waterproof.
Okay. And again, we could, like, if literally, if we took this and made, you know, got labels that fit, or in other words, that were perhaps larger than this but not smaller than this, and just print them and stick them on. Now, again, without knowing what the weight might be, I mean, that might be a cost for us, but, and I agree with you, I don't know, why would they expire, right? I mean, so I don't think this would be an annual thing other than for new users or somebody that lost their card, right? I mean, that's...
Yes, do we actually need, are we sending these to people in the mail with their names already on them? Is that the idea? Do we actually have to do that? No, they put their own name and address on.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think that they should be putting their own information on it. Secondly, if they go out in a tax bill,
yeah.
There are hundreds of people who don't open their tax bills.
Mm.
They just are automatic payments. Mm. So then we're going to have another pile of them that don't get.
Oh, so you're saying, oh, it's going to be a separate mailing then, not...
It would have to be a separate mailing.
But if this was going to be like a one-time thing other than the new ones, and I don't know how long they would last, but I mean, I don't think they'd ever break down,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, you'd lose
mm-hmm.
them, but I mean, a one-time expense in, let's say, 10 years
mm-hmm.
seems reasonable enough to me. I mean, if there was, how many homes do we have? 1,600, 1,700,
mm-hmm.
something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Even if we had to pay a buck a piece,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, plus the printing, I guess, but.
Yeah. But then again, if you look, how many vehicles do you have?
Yeah.
Do you get one for your vehicle and one for Cord's vehicle? Do you get one and have to keep switching back and forth?
It depends what Councilor Kekkonen, license, you never filled in the license?
Well,
we stopped filling in the license.
Right. So yeah, it sounds like it's transferable.
Yeah.
So you're saying that people, when they get their tax bills, a lot of them don't open the tax bill?
If they have automatic payments, whatever.
Oh, I see, automatic payments.
A lot of people, they just don't open the tax
bills. Well, I heard from a handful
of
people.
Even with the labels last year, we had a lot of people who
that
didn't open their tax bills.
But
they
I was just thinking if you had something on the envelope, you an important notice inside.
Maybe, yeah.
Something like that.
Put down your transfer station tag inside, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll look, but no guarantee. But you can't deal with everybody. We just I think that would generally work. I mean, do you agree with that, Mike? Would that be adequate for you if we were to do that? If we pre-print them with your name and address on it, put it in an envelope with your tax bill, if they'll fit. But if we did that plus the Environment Committee flyer as well, then we might be pushing the limit. But it's probably still cheaper than mailing three of them individually anyhow, so right.
Or if the Environmental Committee is planning on doing 3 mail outs this year,
put it in
and
with
we
one
have
of them?
2 tax bills going out, then that third mail out might be something where we could.
Have you ever done mail, Marge?
I have. It's been a while, but
I haven't done it since I was working, but I guarantee I used to do it on a regular basis. But anyhow, I would be rusty, but I could do it if you want me to. I'm coming out.
I think probably right from our tax program, I think we can do a mail merge right from there.
I've asked Roshan some questions like that before. I mean, could we get an extract, not of all of the whole database, because I don't want the whole database, I just want name and address, I think, right? And then, you know, put those two fields in here, and then I'll populate the mail merge file, and off it goes. So.
And it's quite possible that we could. I'd have to check with Chris Mahan, but we might be able to do that from the Geography Network. Because if you're doing planning labels, you can highlight the area you want.
Yeah,
and
have
it
filled.
Goes right into an Excel spreadsheet, so that you can do the mailing list from there.
Anyway, if you want me to help I'll do that. I could do it, a simple, like 10 records and do that and make sure that works, and then say, well, how would we do 2,000 or whatever we need, so. And yeah, right. I think you're right. We would probably need 2 per household. I mean, need 2 in my household, for example, and whatever. But I don't know, that increases our cost. But either that or people go to the transfer station without one, right? So,
if this is on the assumption we're going the card route, we've got got to get that straightened out.
Sure. Okay. I agree. I'm just...
And I would like to, we don't have many from the public at this point, but I'd like to hear their opinion as well. So anybody online has an opinion? Or Peter?
Would you like me to go there?
Sure.
I'll just say I like the old system, but then, you know, when you've been here for a long time, like we've been here for over 30 years and always get recognized, I'm not sure if I've had to show the tag, to be quite honest, because we just get a wave and usually we chat. So, anyway.
Okay.
Councillor Ryland, I think you definitely referred to it, and I will tell you, as a new resident that came to McKellar, at the end of 2022, I went to that transfer tape station a lot. I had a lot of cardboard boxes and other things to take in there. I was never asked to show anything once, nor did I have anything to show, because I didn't have it. You might be putting a lot of time and effort into something that nobody's actually asking to see. I really like the static sticker that I can put on my car. I don't forget it. Crap, I forgot my card. I left it at home. It's there. I'm thinking if you made something that was a little bit bigger, look like a beautiful McKellar Township crest that people would love to put on the front of their car, your goal here is to, I want to get anybody in trouble at the transfer station. You want something for them to very quickly look at a vehicle and be able to go, doesn't have one of those things, you walk over, could I just see some ID? Are you from the township? I think that's what you're trying to accomplish. And I'm not sure. I think if you put that on the front of the car, for me, it's easier. But you might want to back it up a step, because as I said, nobody's ever asked me for anything. And if I took my little static thing off tomorrow, they still don't really know who I am. I'm pretty sure I could go in and dump my garbage without any questions asked.
Well, part of the concern, as we, I guess, have a turnover of staff at the transfer station, I mean, they have certain directions, duties to do as well. Whether they're actually doing them or not is the questionable thing. But one of the things that is there, you have to show your card to the attendant as you enter that gate. That's one of the rules and regulations. Whether it's being enforced or not is the question. So that's the thing that we'll have to investigate. But
I just forget cards at home.
Yeah.
I do. And to have something right on my... It's on my car, I can forget about it for the rest of the year. And renewable? No reason to have it renewable.
Yeah.
Just issue them once and one-time cost and stuff.
But maybe, Carly, you talked about somewhere about fading of certain ones, certain colors. Or?
Yeah, the vendor said that it was commented before that the transfer station permits should be like a highlighter yellow or green to be easily identifiable from afar. And she commented that they fade very quickly on a windshield.
Mm-hmm.
So if a color was to be done, it would have to be a dark blue or a black, unfortunately. You'd still maybe see it better than the white, but the highlighter color option isn't an option that she's advising to use.
Okay.
So the one thing that's getting missed here is that this actually is an aid for the transfer station attendant when they're filling out, making receipts for people who are dropping off things that there's a cost for. Instead of standing around getting that information name, then he can multitask and be, I always carry the receipt book with me, I carry the information sheets, here's the information sheets, thank you, I will fill out your receipt, and I'm working on five other things right now, and I'll see you when you're done. So it serves a functional purpose, that it's an aid for the transfer station attendant, plus it identifies that is a person in McKellar Township, because anything that doesn't actually have their name is easily replicated.
Sure.
Whereas there's only one of me in McKellar Township at this address. So if all of a sudden you start seeing, you know, 25 of a certain name, then it becomes a little bit questionable, possibly, because I think that is something that needs to be ensured, is that the transfer station attendant is checking who is using the waste disposal site, because that is in the certificate of approval and our bylaws. So.
Right. I guess the question is, too, other than Councillor Ryland, Could you ask to see that person's driver's license? Would that give you the same information as a card?
Yeah. Sure, could do that as well. But yeah, that's always an option.
Yeah, Carly has that written in here that, I mean, I can ask for ID that proves it. I'm sure there's other things besides the driver's license, but driver's license most likely to be had. Anyhow.
Well, for all that you need that's on here, I mean, that would satisfy it.
Yeah.
But if it's a cottager, their driver's license.
No, won't give the local address.
No.
They should also have a hydro bill for their cottage that has their name and address or their tax bill.
Mm-hmm.
That could be another form of ID.
Mm-hmm. This covers everything right in one. So
right, and they have it with them. Yeah.
They have it with them. And that was the one thing, as soon as when they were originally issued in the 90s, then everyone knew you needed to have this to get through the gates.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't, you were turned away. So
started out that way.
I think the only time I used mine is when I went to the Perry Sound Station with stuff, and you had to show where you were from.
As well in our
hazardous waste, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been there a half dozen times in the last year. They never asked me. They asked me what township I was from, but didn't ask for proof.
Are they getting a little lax too?
I get it. It's work, right?
Not
and, you know, so
they have forms that they have to fill out because the municipalities are billing per person. So they would write down your municipality and your license plate.
Yeah.
So it may seem like I know they're not proving that you're a resident of McKellar, but it is being documented.
And I'm sure it all comes out in the wash anyway, frankly. So, I mean, it doesn't, you know, some guy says something that's wrong, and that's offset by somebody else that said something was wrong, too. I don't think it's a big deal. Mostly I was dropping off old paint cans, but, they asked me, and they recorded it or ticked it in a sheet, but, I don't know that I would have to prove it. They didn't ask me for proof. I had it with me, but anyway.
They know more about you than you think they know.
When I asked Andy about this earlier in the year when we were talking about the stickers, I said, how many, what percentage of people coming through the gate do you know by sight? I'm not asking if you know their name, but know them because they come regularly. And he said about 70%. And I said, okay, well, you would know better than me. But anyway, that makes some sense because I think from the outset, when you were there, I knew you, and after that, I got to know them because I go at least once a week, I guess. So, but I've never had a card, and I've never been asked. I do have the sticker on my windshield, although it got kind of mutilated when I was putting it in there, but anyhow.
Okay, so what we've got here is from a previous attendant for a few years, the director of operations, the present transfer station attendant, all leaning towards cards. So they're in the business, and I think that's something council has to consider.
Okay, so let's go with cards, okay? Let's move on.
Well, I'm just putting it out there. And I don't know what the next step would be if that is a decision, but they'd have to be made up, and as you say, through a program perhaps that could be done in-house as opposed to sending it out. So.
If that's the way we're going, I don't think we'll hit the deadline for the 2024 interim tax bill, so I like your suggestion working with the Environmental Committee to kind of piggyback on one of their mail-outs.
Sure. Is there an interest in a card that hangs off the mirror, or do you want to have a card like that that's wallet-sized, let's say, anyhow?
Well, the thing is, as Councillor Kekkonen said, that is an option, then you can hang that from the mirror if you wish. You're not obligated to.
No.
But I don't know what the attendant would like. To me, that's key because they're working with it every day. Do you want something hanging from the window or from the mirror, or do you want something, a card that can be actually handed to you that you can write out things, as you say, for receipt purposes?
Well, you could shove that in your just stick it in the windshield, and then if he wants it, write and hand it to him.
That's
so you can do the receipt.
Most people hide it just on their front windshield,
Stick it in there.
But that's probably a color that would fade based upon what I know, but I don't know.
Well, that's old.
Yeah.
2015.
They don't fade.
You didn't have it in your windshield, or did you?
Well,
be hard to believe.
Not the same color as Dave's. Unless you requested it.
Dave's has been around, I think, since the 1800s or something.
I may have.
So
So I guess on the resolution it was talking about plastic cards. There was two options, Klingons or plastic cards. So I was just wondering, is that this year or...
So the plastic cards that were quoted are an actual card that's waterproof and tear resistant. We did not get a price on like a card on cardstock, so we can come back to council with that figure.
So you would go to a printer, and then they would give you a cost of what, 1,500 or probably 2,000 of these. Something similar to this would cost?
Yes.
And
but you would not be able to write on them if they were plasticized. I don't think.
You're saying cardstock, something similar to
this?
Yes,
yeah.
Right. Okay.
So either option's available as to what,
yeah.
How.
But I think one of the things that we want to try to do is minimize the amount of staff labor as well. So, you know, can this card be put through, you know, use software to be able to print the information on here?
That's something we'll have to investigate.
So, because if it was page-sized paper stock that fit into the printer and that would fill in the necessary information in the correct locations. Yeah, so anyways, I guess this is the trying to figure out the...
But here, to be clear, and again, I've done this for thousands of things, maybe even hundreds of thousands of things. All you need, obviously this is not applicable, it's about parking, but if you have a section in here that would have my name and address, then all I do is print off
labels.
And white labels that are adhesive, you go on, you can't peel them off, but and it would just have that, and then whatever the other card was, or plastic card or otherwise, and it could be plastic, which is way more durable, then we just simply put a sticker on it, put it in the envelope, and away we go. Now, the only thing is, when we mail tax bills, we use window envelopes, is that true? Okay, and the tax bill itself has that information in the right place. So, yeah, we'd have to figure out how to do the envelopes as well, too, right? We could do a second sticker for that, too, but, you know, that wouldn't be a material cost, maybe $100 anyway. So, and like I said, I can at least try this as a pilot. I could do it for 10, you know, fictional people and see if it works, right? And it doesn't have to be, I'm not fixed on this size or anything else, just that kind of thing. And maybe you're right, maybe a wallet-sized card would be better so that the front has, I don't really know, if you're okay, can I take a picture of your card? And then I'm not going to do anything funny with it.
I don't know if Mary still has blanks or not.
I'll give you a blank.
Okay. And then, like I said, one side would have pre-printed information for every card, and the other side would be your name and address, right? Mm-hmm. Because that would be all you'd need, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, the one side would be pre-printed, yeah, and the back side
yeah.
would be... would you be adding? Like the one side stays the same.
Right.
Right.
With this information
with this
here.
Yeah. All the static data is on one side and the variable data is on the other. Right? The name and address is the variable data, but anyhow.
And I'm just wondering, Nick, you're saying that you've never been asked for a card. What if we were to approach Andy and say, like, if somebody's coming in and they don't have a card, you know, obviously he's not going to ask you for a card, but if somebody new comes in, or if there's somebody new in the working in the transfer station, when they come in, if he says, please go to the township and get a card, at least then we're filling them in. I'm not worried about getting one printed up for Nick. I'm not worried about getting one printed up for David. But for the ones that the township staff, whoever is at the town at the transfer station, he's telling
get him
them
to issue them?
To issue them.
Okay.
Have him send them here, which
okay.
would help to eliminate from having to do one big mass mail-out.
So,
but then most of those other people, like me, wouldn't have a card even then. I don't think it poses a problem. But
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But it would certainly minimize our cost and our time.
It would minimize the cost and time
yeah.
because, you know, there's five people sitting right here right now that we wouldn't have to print out a card and send out a card in a mass mail. You know, and I'm sure there's quite a few people that Andy sees on a regular basis that he's never going to ask them if they have a card. So it would be more cost effective for us to
sure.
not have to send those out if there was a way that,
yeah.
you know.
That works good as long as the staffing stays the same.
Yes.
You know, and
exactly.
but so it's almost like you want to be proactive one step ahead
mm-hmm.
to ensure that no matter who is there,
mm-hmm.
that that they can at least ensure
yeah.
that you know it's a valid user of the waste disposal
yeah.
site. And so one of the things that I found was helpful that if you have all the information sheets, what's
mm-hmm.
acceptable, times, hours, the township
yeah.
information sheets, and you recognize someone that you've never seen before,
mm-hmm.
then you approach them and ask, you know, say, hi, I'm
mm-hmm.
Mike, and I'm wondering, do you have the information sheets?
Mm-hmm.
They say, no, this is my first time here. And it's like, okay, do you have a dump user permit?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, no, I'm still waiting for one, you know, or,
mm-hmm.
or I don't know, where do I get one?
Mm-hmm.
Call the township office, write to them, email
mm-hmm.
them. They'll be happy to ensure that you get a user permit.
I know that when we, at one point in time, when new residents had bought a new cottage, a welcome package was sent out
yeah,
with a bit of information. And in that was a letter to them saying, please come into the transfer, or come into the office and get your transfer station cards.
Right.
They don't send up, they don't give up.
We haven't done those for
Yeah, because
three
I remember
years.
The news
suite about
I don't
yeah.
think I ever got one. I mean, it's possible, but I don't think so. So
yeah,
yeah.
The package would have like information for burning, the transfer station,
mm-hmm.
Something for the museum, something for the library,
sure.
just to sort of give people an idea,
yeah.
a little map showing where the beaches are, boat launches, things like that would be in the package. And then with the welcome letter, it would say, you know, to drop by the office to get your card.
Well, this is another conversation we need to have too to make sure that those welcome packages continue going out.
Yeah.
Who did it? Like staff did it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
And how do you know when there's a new resident? Because the tax bill changes.
Well, we get notified from MPAC.
Okay.
And usually, well, even the lawyers will send out. Usually now, we've only got one lawyer in town who hesitates to send us a copy of the deed.
Okay.
But most of the time, if there's a sale done,
yeah.
then the lawyer who's doing the work will send us a copy of the deed, so we know.
Okay. You're right. That would certainly make the effort way less than
mm-hmm.
it would otherwise be.
Mm-hmm.
You could even build an online. There's a name for it, I can't remember, where you'd fill in the information and request it online. You're
mm-hmm.
giving us your information,
that's
we check it, and then
too.
We print it and mail it, and off we go.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to, if you got cards the right size that they'd fit in the printer, you could print right on the card directly. You don't have to use labels. But
Jennifer made a good point. She said that the vendor might be able to reprint the cards using a mail merger and plasticize them. It might be worth
sure.
asking, and that's a good point. Other than that, we would most likely have to remove the name on the card just for privacy and protection. But if council was agreeable to that, then that might be an idea as well. You just have the address of the permit holder,
mm-hmm.
and that would probably be quick for Aquagraphics to do.
But what would they? Would they just do a mail merge of every civic address then?
Yeah,
then
it would just be civic addresses. So, like, we're going with the Prairie Sound Geographical Network. Ownership is usually fairly outdated.
Yeah.
But if we just provided all the civic addresses in the township, then that might be
yeah.
another option.
Because that's why I'm wondering, then, what do you do in the case that Debbie sells her property? Now you've got somebody else. Do we have to get a new pre-printed card?
Right.
Debbie'd be out on the street selling her old one, you know. $100.
No, I'd give her $120.
So address only.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I hadn't
yeah.
thought this through, but I mean, if there's people that were concerned, if I was a cottager and basically wasn't at my home like 5 days a week at minimum, maybe I wouldn't want my McKellar address on there because then people would know. I don't know how you'd know. You'd have to watch, but I mean, you understand. That maybe I wouldn't want the address there because then that's kind of tipping my hand to anybody that comes along and sees it. I guess you wouldn't know because you wouldn't know who's a cottager and who's a
no.
resident. But anyway, I don't know. I don't. It wouldn't cause me any grief, but I mean, right? Maybe people would be targeted for one reason or another. That's all. But
if you had a really nice vehicle that somebody wanted to steal.
Well, there's no worry about that for me anyway. So.
Okay.
That's. I think that's worth asking. Anyhow, if they do the whole job, then So they probably, well, not probably, they'd want more money, but probably cheaper than us doing it. So.
Well, I think you basically have the idea of what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can investigate and see the best way that it will work out for the staff to implement it. And then before you decide, bring it back.
Yeah. We've got three printing companies in town.
Yeah.
We've got Minuteman, Aqua Graphics, and Taurus Offset. See what they can offer us and what they can do.
Does Andy have a township cell phone?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
There is a phone there, though.
Is there?
Yeah.
There's
no
booth.
There is a landline.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we have a really large visible sign saying you must show your permit right there? Of course, I would just never even pay attention, but I just wonder if we're going to go at all this bother.
This is not a good group to ask, but anyway, so.
Well, we need more signage out there.
Yeah.
We've asked for some, and that's really important, I think, the rules. Even the times we mentioned to Director of Operations, I mean, a couple of those times are incorrect, and the one sign is there. Plus, we've asked for the recycling information, what goes into the plastic bin from the company, because people don't really know. And depending on the attendant, they accept different things in the plastic bin. So I think that would be good, to, like you're suggesting.
Yeah, I'm thinking must have card visible.
Right.
That's a reminder.
People just automatically,
there is some
they saw that
things on the recycling
they
stuff going on
there's,
with the Uber Jen for mentioning. There's a subcommittee now on the environmental committee that's looking at recycling with some expertise on it. I don't include myself in that list, but it would be worthwhile tying into that too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But one of the things I've noticed repeatedly, especially on long weekends, on Facebook, on the various local groups, there's constant questions, is the dump open, that's the words they use, on this Monday because it's a holiday, and I know because of recent stuff that it is, but at least that it should be, but it would be worthwhile if there was simply a phone number, and obviously we can't use the office phone numbers for it because you're not here on those days or those times, but it would certainly be useful for a lot of people who don't believe that it is, and 90% of the time I answer those things and say yes it is, although I could also be wrong too, so.
Okay, well, we have many things on the agenda.
Just
thanks,
just
Carla.
One other thing, when the Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee, when they're doing the recycling plan, if they could as well connect with our however the recycling is going to go in the future, connect with the company that picks up the recycling to ensure that things that constitute a contaminated load here is the same as whatever, so that we can reduce that huge cost.
Yeah.
It's a huge cost.
Mm-hmm. Huge cost and totally inefficient.
I'll just add that staff are actively working with Waste Connections on the recycling, and once information is available, we will share with the Environmental Committee, but right now we're just working on legislative things to get going for this transition, so any information we will have regarding recycling will be passed on.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, I'm not sure, just to legalize this, we had the resolution, I think I read it. I'm not sure if we even voted on it. So we'll vote on going into committee of the whole. And all those in favor, just to legalize.
Good.
Vote, not opposed, carried.
What was the resolution number?
776.
776.
We may have voted on it. We'll find it on the record.
Okay.
And we have resolution 23-777, moved by Councillor Peckin and seconded by Councillor Zulak. The result of the Council of the Corporation of Township of Keller does hereby rise and report from the Committee of the Whole at 8:21 p.m. Call a question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution. Okay, so this has covered everything we've done here, or should we even keep doing that at this point? I don't know. It's a resolution, but a lot of blanks in it. And resolution 23-778, moved by Councillor Zulak, seconded by Councillor Kekkonen, be resolved by the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller does hereby approve the minutes of the December 5th, 2023 regular meeting of council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? All question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 23-779, moved by Councilor Haskins, second by Councilor Ryland. We resolve the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller does hereby receive the minutes of the September 27th, 2023 meeting of the Board of Health, Finance, and Property Committee. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-780, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller does hereby receive the draft minutes of the November 1st, 2023 meeting of the Township of McKellar Historical Committee. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-781, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Haskin. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes of the October 30th, 2023 meeting of the Township of McKellar Public Library Board. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-782. Yep, 78. Moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation, Township of Keller, hereby received the minutes of the October 25th, 2023 meeting of the District of Verizon West, Belvedere Heights Board of Management. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-783, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the 2023 McKellar Market Year-End Report from Market Manager Jan Gibson for information purposes. Discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 23-784, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller has hereby received the accounts payable preliminary check run report for November 2023 from Treasurer Roshan Cantia for information purposes. Discussion? Councillor Ryland, he's long gone, right?
Okay,
that's fine. I know Roshan's not here. I don't know if Carly or Ina would know on page two, like the very second page. There's an item in here for $994 for Christmas gifts, fire department.
Good question.
Well, I mean, so, and maybe these are like toy donations for kids or something, I don't know, but I mean, it strikes me as rather odd that that's the description that's given. And if you don't know, you don't know, but I mean, could you find out from Roshan and
Yeah,
and let us know. I mean,
yep.
it jumped off the page at me. I read it like three times and thought, come on, like, what, we're buying gifts for each other now? So, and how come I didn't get one? But anyway, but I'm kidding about that. But anyway, okay.
I've seen a couple of places here where it talks about Google support. Is that the Gmail accounts or?
That's the domain at mckellar.ca.
Okay.
And I got another one on, well, it is page two, but it's, God knows. I never understand the page numbering, but. And there's I know it's a regular expense for MyTech Information Technology for $1,143.
Yep.
What is that?
That's Dan Hilbert.
Is it? Okay. I thought so. I just didn't know, but. And that's every month, right?
Yes.
When we had discussion a couple of meetings ago, I don't recall the official purpose of the discussion, but I had asked if we could get Dan to come and make a presentation. I know what it was about the HR policy
mm-hmm.
and about why, you know, our backups and whether they're in the cloud or just on the server and, you know, some, there's a whole raft of things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not asking for anything formal here, but I mean, can you ask him if he would come and
yeah.
I don't know if it's a deputation or a report, or whatever, but.
I would think it would be more likely to be in the committee of the whole.
Okay.
It would be open discussion.
Because I still have big concerns about that. And randomware, I was reading some online stories someplace down by Essex County, down by Windsor,
mm-hmm.
That the township had their stuff taken over in ransomware, and they had to pay like $1.5 million to get it back, which is, well, not only would it bankrupt us, I mean, it would be very detrimental to our reputation. So,
yeah.
And maybe all these things are in place, but I'd like to hear it straight from the horse's mouth.
I agree.
Right?
I
so.
Agree.
The last update that I have that we regarding that I think was in 2018 asked where how things were with cybersecurity and that's the last official update that I had received. So,
yeah. But and like there's a raft of questions. If you want,
mm-hmm.
I can tell you what the questions are. We can give them to them and say, you know, can you provide information on these things, right?
That,
so.
That might be a good idea for you to actually
sure.
provide us with that, and we can contact Dan and ask him
sure.
if he would come. I do think that it should be committee of the whole because
sure.
he's going to be
sure.
asked questions rather than him making a deputation and just reading off the answers.
What does he do for the 1143? I mean, I know he's there for support, but I mean, tangibly, how often are you in contact with him, or how often is he actually doing something for us?
Well, he's on call too. I mean,
yeah.
he does.
I understand, but I understand that's the nature of it.
And when he, yeah, if we call him, he comes out. He does something for us. But yeah, he's, Dan, we don't see him very often. We see him if we have a problem.
Right, but he can do a lot of stuff online,
from,
right?
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
And that's
true.
I'm not criticizing. I'm
yes.
just asking a question. That's all. So
yeah.
But, okay.
And I'm not very technical, so I mean,
sure.
what he does.
Councillor Kekin, do you have a question?
Yes, yes, yes. So I was wondering, because we are paying into the Perry Sound Industrial Park Board,
mm-hmm.
and we'd like to get updates or some type of a report from the you know different boards that we're paying
mm-hmm.
a levy to, you know, could we request some type of a report from this board, you know, to see
sure.
how things are going? I've you know over the years heard that maybe some repairs need to be, you know, upgrades or need to be made, so
we'll come and do a deputation,
yeah.
whatever works. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah,
well, you realize, of course, by asking, the fees have gone up in the last few years. But if there are a lot of problems and a lot more expenses, they'll want more townships to join the board. So just keep that in mind. Right now, there are only three of them that actually are part of that. And my understanding was we got involved because of some waste sewage haulers. That we had to be part of or pay into that in order for them to actually dump the sewage at that particular site.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's still the case. An update would be good because we may have sewage haulers now. I'm not even sure. You know, it's a competitive market more so now than it was. And I'm not sure where they're actually taking the haulage, the sewage. So that would be good to know. But I'm just saying, too, that... It's not a cheap outfit to operate the industrial park, and it's like the airport. They've asked us in the past to become part of it, and we haven't. So, but to get any more information, that'd be fine. I have no problem with that.
I think, you know, when we're paying close to $15,000 a year,
yeah.
and it's like, well, we've never heard anything about what we're paying for.
Yeah, but I think
Christmas
say it actually started around 6, but I think the reason was we can get that confirmation from them. So that people could pay less in the township to have the sewage hauled.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And that was the only way to get it done. So actually there was a benefit to the ratepayers here by paying that that fee. But it has gone up, and I imagine costs have gone up. But it'd be interesting to see. I don't know if there's any actual contract that exists. It'd be from over a decade ago when it all started. So we'd have to confirm that. But it'd be worthwhile asking, I guess.
Because, you know, are the septic haulers using another facility?
Yeah, I don't know.
If they are, then we're paying $15,000 to something that may not even be used by our municipality.
Yeah, well, what you'll have to do, if they release the figures, I guess, is I don't know how they break it down from each municipality,
mm-hmm.
where the haulers are coming from and who they're actually servicing within the townships. I don't know how detailed they have, but they might have that information.
I think they used to have the hauler had to show.
Right.
Yeah.
Used to be.
Yeah.
But like I say, now the more
where
people in the business, I'm not sure exactly where they're hauling to.
Yeah.
Because I know there are some in the Northeast that do it as well, and I don't think they're using industrial park. So, yeah, it'd be worthwhile to reach out, I guess. That's what it'd be to, it's in Carling, but I guess Prairie Sound and McDougall, is it?
Yes.
They're the ones involved. So.
It would beg the question, actually, if we go through this report like for a few months and pull out how many other places we're paying and we don't ever hear from. Right, and at the very least, ask them for a written report. They could email it, right, or an annual report, or whatever they want to call it. Just so the least we know, what are we getting for this money? I mean, to look after taxpayers. I mean, that's a fair question, right? What do I get for paying you $15,000? And maybe it's completely valid. Maybe it's not. Right.
And be prepared if it's
if
we're getting a deal.
No, I agree. I mean, and that's a good word of caution. But and I didn't think of that angle for sure. That's valid, but.
Well, why would they, if they're doing everything legit and it's based on accounting principles, why would they all of a sudden sock you because you asked a few questions?
Yeah.
Well, no, it's just that if you want to continue the service and costs have gone up, there are all kinds of reasons why your bill could increase. So,
well, then that would be in the accounting principles that they use. Like, you know, they're not just, you know, guessing what they're going to charge municipalities. And when we're paying into something, I think we have a right to ask what it is that we're actually, what we're paying for.
I can think of all kinds of funny little taglines we could put on this item. Not very nice words, but...
Save it for Facebook.
Okay, anything else on the account?
Just one question here. So the crushed pipeline, so what caused that crushed pipeline?
We're not 100% sure, but we're assuming that it was probably one of the trucks going by, whether it would have been Adams going to pump out the outhouse, or whether it was one of the township trucks when they bring in the salt for the water treatment.
You're talking about the pipe here?
Yeah.
So they could have been behind the building where they shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And now some big boulders there.
At Fair Day,
yes,
there was people driving up over there all
yeah.
the time, and even at the post office that
yeah.
keeps getting further out.
Well, I think, too, they also had, was it 2,000? I don't know the exact figure.
The
who won that? The horse, yeah. Somebody won that prize, guess the weight. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's people going up
yeah.
over that a lot.
Yeah, so I think they have put boulders out now so that people mm-hmm. shouldn't be able to drive through there, but mm-hmm. that is a concern. We thought that it had been solved by moving the septic across the road. Of course, that still creates problems now going
mm-hmm.
under the road out here. But there was a problem with the septic out here before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we went to the geothermal, and that's a concern too,
mm-hmm.
how far down that is and what could be damaged. So,
well, surely we should block off things either with rocks or fence posts or whatever. Right, because lots of people would do it innocently. They wouldn't know.
Right, they wouldn't know.
Right, but certainly that's why I did it. My place is raised. My son's place had a contractor put big boulders all around it. Right, so.
I have a question here for Ina, too.
Mm-hmm.
966 for your course.
Yep.
I just see courses and training, $197, and then mileage, $65. Didn't you stay anywhere?
It's on the visa.
Oh, so it's under there?
Yeah.
So you did pay for a hotel.
I
want to make
for
sure.
Hotel,
okay.
But I didn't charge mileage
no,
for
I
going to the Sioux, because mileage to go to the Sioux and back
yeah.
was almost, it was pushing $700.
Mm, sure.
It could be a tank of gas.
Ugh.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about helicopter, I guess, maybe, or something, rather than driving.
I don't think it'll be that far away.
That's good. I just wanted—I wasn't questioning the figures.
Yeah.
Anything else on the accounts?
No.
Okay. All the questions then. All those in favor? Not opposed. Carried. Okay, so that's 19.1 on our agenda.
Yeah.
The public, yeah, it's 19.1.
Okay. Resolution 23-785, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar does hereby receive the Municipal Property Assessment Corporation, MPAC, data sharing and services agreement, and further authorize the mayor and the clerk administrator to sign the agreement prior to the deadline of December 22nd, 2023. Discussion? And you have the update from Chris Mahan explaining why he said no, don't sign it first, but now he says sign it.
Yes.
And I don't know whether you want to elaborate or Carly, just for the public.
We met with Caitlin Potts and Chris Mahan. Carly, Chris, and I met with them. The biggest concern that we were having was that MPAC originally was taking all of the information that we get off of the geography network so readily, they were going to take that away so that we weren't going to have access to it. We now know that because we have to log into the geography network, that we're going to be able to get the information that we need. Other public users, that's where we're going to probably receive complaints. There's a lot of the other municipalities that really don't care. Things like real estate agents, surveyors, anybody like that, that they want to get specific information on the township, they're not going to have access to anything other than just the roll number and the civic address. No personal information will be released. So we're good as far as what we're getting. Our service isn't going to be affected. It was number one, it was my biggest concern because the product that MPAC does provide us is horrible to use. It takes you 10 minutes just to get into the system because you have to get a password. And then when you get the password, you have to ask for another password for the report you want. And then you have to wait for an email from them to get that. And then once you put that in and you say, okay, I want to download this report, now you have to ask for another password and wait for an email. And this is for something like what Carly would do where she's doing a planning mail out. She can go to the geography network, outline the properties that are involved, and within seconds she has the file is right there. If she had to do that through MPAC, it would take her a whole day to do the report. So that was our biggest concern. That's been...
And what about all the other users, I guess you call them?
Any other kind of a public user, like for you to go on, even if you were to go on and look at your own property on the geography network, you would find the property, the roll number, and the civic address. You
not
would find basic... No.
So there's no solution for those people? They're just too bad? You're out of luck?
There is another option that they can look at. We haven't really decided on that. And that was the option C. Chris hasn't provided us with the new document yet, though, for option C. But I'm sure that we will get people that will call in that they're not going to get that information.
But then the question comes up. Should we be signing? I know there's a deadline, but should we be signing this? And then you're locked into it. You've agreed to their conditions. So how hard is it to get out of a signed contract?
Well, the way it reads, from what I've seen, you're locked in for 4 years, and then it's automatically going to be renewed every year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this really concerns me because this is an absolutely useful tool that eliminates the need for, you know, public or citizens to have to call the office or call MPAC for basic information. So when you go to the site, are the property lines are they going to be
on the geography
network?
The property lines will be there, and you'll still get Terranet lines, which you'll find if you put Terranet on, the lines will be slightly off, but the Terranet lines are usually more accurate than the ones from that overlay of the geography network lines. But yeah, they're not going to be able to get a lot of the information that we get, that we require in order to do our job, and definitely more efficiently than if we had to go through that path to do it.
So, like, you know, currently you can go to West Perry Sound Geography Network, zoom in, and you can get a property report. So it has the roll number, it has the address, it has site area, frontage, depth, variance, assessed value, property code, unit class, property access code, hydro service, water service, sanitary service code, and the date which this information was. So it seems like this is being extracted. So all of this information here will not be available to the public in the future?
It's just the civic number and the, or the roll number and the civic address, to my knowledge.
This really concerns me, because when you read the impact agreement, it talks about they want to commercialize the data. So now are you going to have, does the public user have to pay impact to get this information?
Yeah, you got it.
I don't think we should be signing this in protest, absolutely.
Chris Mahan's actively working with impact to mitigate this, so at some point the public will most likely get that information back. We're just not in the position yet. He's reference two product sheets, one's a standardized one and one's an enhanced one. It will bring some of that information back, and he's working on an option C, as Ina referenced, specific to the West Perry Sound municipalities, to get this public information back to the public. It is prudent that we do sign the MPAC agreement. The municipality needs the services of MPAC to do its daily business. Our treasurer is the one that uses it the most. So it is very strongly recommended that we do sign this agreement, and the deadline is just in a couple days. But just know, Chris Mahan is actively working to get this information back into the public's hands.
Well, one of the it mentions in there that the municipalities, even though if you do not sign this agreement, you will still be able to have all of MPAC's services and information that they are legislatively required to provide. So if they are providing access to all the information that they're legislatively required to provide, isn't that what a municipality needs to be able to function?
It may make the treasurer's job harder to access the information. Yes, it will be legislatively provided, but he may have to take alternative avenues to access that information.
He would have to, because if we don't sign it, we lose Municipal Connect. Rojan is the only one that uses Municipal Connect because he has to. That's where he gets sales reports and downloads all kinds of omitted taxes, you know, when people are reassessed, reconsiderations, all of that information he gets through Municipal Connect. He is the only one that actively uses it because he has to. Other than that, then it's going to be snail mail.
I guess the one question is, and I know West Perry Sound Geography Network is relatively new. I mean, when you look at the whole history, we got along before they existed.
Mm-hmm.
They saw a need for it, so they joined together. Where do they go in the future if they're not providing us? Are they still charging us the fees? I think we all used to pay $6,000 in the municipality. I don't know what it is now. And if they're not providing the same services, they used to charge the users to actually access that information as well. Are they going to lose a revenue source now if they can't provide that information? What happens to the Geography Network? What's their future?
That's a good question. And, you know, then we should put pressure on West Perry Sound Geography Network and say that you're not providing the same, you know, quality of information, so that we want a reduction until you can ensure that you're going to supply that information. That's
and it's fine for Chris Mahan to say that he's working with them and coming up with a new agreement, but if they don't sign that new agreement, we're no better off. So, I mean,
there are the product sheets that we will be signing in the new year that will gain us access to this information. I have to look at his email again, but he hasn't made a plans option C agreement yet, so we haven't seen what specific data he's requiring. But from what MPAC has said, these two product sheets will give us back our information.
And he is working on that presentation that he wants to bring it to the councils.
Yes.
But he is working on that right now.
Then why can MCAT not extend their date, their deadline?
If I could answer that question. I don't even agree that this is an agreement, because they're saying you sign this or you lose the service.
Right.
That's not
extortion is what that is. So.
Yes. The unfortunate thing is that we need that
Of course.
Information.
But can they get away with not giving us this stuff? Is it legislated that we have to be able to access that stuff? To function as a municipality,
yeah.
You have to be able to access that data.
Right.
So can they legally prevent us?
I don't know how. I don't think they can prevent us, but I'm not sure how it would be presented to Roshan if we didn't have Municipal Connect. Because Municipal Connect's been around for a while. I don't know whether it would just be through, it wouldn't be through an email, it might be through fax, or it would be through mail, that he would have to wait to get the actual supplemental billings and updates and things like that. Would be back to
Pony Express, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because they do talk about timelines that they're required to provide information. So, like, you know, for them to all of a sudden to go to some type of system that is not, won't even meet their own timelines, that'd be very questionable. But another thing, when it's mentioned about the data products that they're going to provide, you know, that table actually caught my attention, because I noticed all of the data products that they're going to provide, none of them have anything to do with the public. They're all for some type of government entity, such as DSABs, planning boards, conservation authorities, not-for-profit purposes, partially municipally owned funded entities, not-for-profit purposes, municipal entities. So it talks nothing about public access.
So the public, and that's why Chris Mahan's been working on this other option.
So
they can just charge a fee to the public.
Yeah, so so we need to have West Perry Sound Geography Network compensate us for the loss of this information, which the public, we have paid for the West Perry Sound Geography Network to become the entity that it is, and to provide those services to the public. And now, if we're not going to be able to provide to the public the terms and conditions of our agreement with the West Perry Sound Geography Network have changed, and so will the price we're willing to pay.
Like, maybe we've been spoiled with the West Perry Sound Geography Network. I'm not sure about other municipalities, other areas, whether they have a similar organization like that. What are they doing? In Muskoka, for instance.
Was it Muskoka that said they signed the contract under duress?
Something like that,
yeah. They did. That's what they...
But you see, that's an unfortunate thing here, because MPAC didn't exist a number of years ago,
yeah.
And then it was created when they went to the Property Assessment Corporation, through the, what was it, the market value assessment was part
mm-hmm.
of it,
mm-hmm.
and then the, what was the other one, I'm trying to think back to the whole way of doing the asset management, for
mm-hmm.
instance, and that was all tied in together. It was through the government.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to create this organization,
mm-hmm.
and now they're taking on more responsibility, more roles, and I think as Councillor Kekkonen said, and the public is being edged out whatever they had available, and it's just going to make it more and more difficult. I certainly don't want to make it more difficult for our treasurer by not signing this, but I'm just thinking, you know, it seems to be the 11th hour, and we should have more information. I'd be interested to know what the other townships are doing. How many have signed this now? Do we even know?
At the December 11th meeting that we had with Caitlin Potts, she said that 80% of the municipalities have signed. I can't specifically say how many West Perry Sound municipalities have signed, but Chris Mahan was advising all of the West Perry Sound municipalities to sign their agreements now.
Well, it's
that's fine and dandy, but if we're not going to be able to, the public's not going to be able to access the information that they would expect to when they go to West Prairie Sound Geography Network, I don't care what 80% of the other municipalities are doing, we have to represent what is important to us and our citizens. You know, all the, like I said, these data products, none of them are tailored for the public. They're completely, and even these are monetized. Some of these here, even the data products that they're going to provide to these nonprofit organizations, reduced or no fees. So they're monetizing some. We're not, we want a not-for-profit MPAC, not one that thinks all of a sudden that they need to start monetize everything. They're, that's not what they're there for, to create a profit or to, they're there to help the municipalities and the public have the information that they need. What, you know, it's all about open data and making sure that, you know, information that's valuable to the ordinary person is available.
Somebody's trying to turn them into a profit center, that's why.
Yeah, someone at the top there thinks that, oh, I can show a little bit more profit for this organization. And
so will the public now call the office to get the information?
They would either have to call, well,
or surveyors or anything?
Or what we used to do, say Ontario Hydro would be coming in when they were doing locations, things like that, or having to provide notices. They came in and they got the roll book, which, again, is another argument that I've had with MPAC, that you are protecting this information that is in a roll book that is public information.
Yeah, and that's our argument, is that much of this information that the Geography Network produces shouldn't be public. It's almost a private thing, and that's why they're keeping it more private.
Yeah.
And they'll release what they think they could release. So.
Yeah. Any of that information that, as you're reading off of that, is in the roll book. The frontage, the assessed value, all of that information is in the roll book, and it's public information. Anybody can come in and say, can I see the roll book, and go through it and get that information. But that's the information that MPAC is saying.
They want to privatize it.
Right.
They want to be in charge.
Well, the thing is that they want to lead you to come to me. And that's what they were kind of talking about at first, when they were first talking about taking it, everything from the Geography Network. And I think a lot of municipalities, not just in Parry Sound area, a lot of people with the GIS software were all saying the same thing. And so they've been able to make that agreement so that we do have access to that. But at the same token, yeah, that's why Chris is working with them on this, because that information is in the roll book.
But I think, yeah, so good, some good points. But the one thing that I think the agreement sort of tried to point out was that it was worded so that the information, that you don't have the authority to release that information. The stuff that they're going to take control of, that you can't even release it. Now they own it. And so the monetization part of this concerns me, because all of a sudden now you have to set up an account with MPAC to access the information that you can obtain today by just going to West Prairie Sound Geography Network.
Yeah, either go there or, again, like I said, you can go to the roll book and get it for free. But they want to charge us to collect that, or that's what they were aiming at.
Is the roll book a physical book?
Yeah.
How big is it?
It's about this thick. Ours is tiny compared to a lot of places.
Well, I'm sure, but yeah. Okay. And who produces it?
MPAC.
How often?
Once a year.
Okay. It seems to me that the only real solution here, so that Roshan can still do his job, is to sign it under duress as well. I know that has impact on contract law. I don't remember the details of it, but I know that that's an issue, which is probably why they did it. And I think that we should likely do the same. I don't see a downside to doing it anyway, right? But I sure wouldn't want to have Roshan have to spend hours or days or weeks to do something that it can do in minutes.
Well, these are questions that should have been answered previously, not at the 11th hour like this.
I don't think other municipalities are receiving the answers either, and to be honest, not signing the agreement will hurt the township more than it'll hurt MPAC. So I think another alternative is obviously all the Ontario municipalities are signing these agreements, and then hopefully resolutions come forward to kind of push MPAC back on what they've had everyone do.
Yeah, but that the voice of the public need to be the ones that get any protests or.
Do you want to initial that, Mike? Sorry. And,
like how many municipalities, how many people, number one, would complain that, oh, the information isn't on? How many, you know, would actually take the effort to complain? And then where would they point
would they
those
complain?
Complaints
yeah.
to? Who would take up that torch and put pressure on who to ensure that this becomes public information again when MPAC doesn't even address it in their data products? They don't seem to think it's a concern, so.
We could copy our MPP about this too, right? This is a provincial agency, isn't it, for sure? It's not beyond Ontario. I mean, probably equivalent, but not the same. But I don't see a downside to adding under duress under it anyway. I'm no lawyer, but I mean, and I had way back some dealings with things like this where I met with lawyers regularly and said, should I do this? And that's at a corporate level, so it has some impact. I don't think it's negative for us anyhow, but.
No concerns adding that, but should there be another line that under duress with the expectation that all public information that's publicly accessible currently on West Prairie Sound Geography Network will continue to be provided to the public going forward without it
okay.
being monetized.
But that would only be in our resolution. We're not talking about communicating that back to. Is it MPAC we're actually dealing with on this? Yeah. I mean, therefore we would want to be more specific about who we're saying what to, right? I agree with you, 100%. I agree with you. I'm just saying.
So then we would have to add on this resolution and this, and therefore be forwarded to this resolution be forwarded to NPAC and NPP
and Graydon Smith and Doug Ford and whoever the municipal affairs and housing is. That what NPAC falls under? Do you know?
No, they're. They're a corporation that is trying to track it down to find who is the top dog. I still don't know yet. Who do they answer to? They say they have a board of governors. Well, who are they? I don't know.
Well, at least we can write to Doug Ford. It's under his banner.
Like, ultimately,
you know?
I would say Doug Ford is their boss.
Yeah. Yeah, one of those mystery things, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a corporation that has become too powerful in their own mind. Anyway.
Well, and I couldn't see that somebody would get like lots of brownie points for turning this agency that costs money into an agency that makes money.
Mm-hmm.
And look at all the kudos they get for that.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't realize they did it by, I was going to say a nasty word, by treating the public badly anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So
the deadline is December 22nd. We have a meeting December 21st.
Closed session, but part of it could be open, but we have to make sure we're meeting the notice deadlines as well.
Yeah.
You haven't put out a
can
notice.
Can you submit it by
the
email? Because that would be snail mail, the response for the agreement.
Caitlin is actually out of the office now until the new year, so I don't think we would get any responses for the meeting on Thursday.
No, I don't mean that, but I mean for us to submit our agreement or lack thereof. Are you allowed to submit our agreement via email? In other words,
we
don't have to send it in the post.
No.
Okay. Yeah, it's just wrong.
Just
to find
out, you know, is Chris Mahan working on anything other than the data products for the municipality and ensuring that the agreement is going to allow for the same public access information that's currently available?
Yes, he has let us know that he is working on an agreement specific to MPAC and the West Prairie Sound municipalities to get this information. information back for the geography network.
For public access.
For public access, so that all the information lost will be restored.
Because I think that's a pretty...
That's the moot point. That's the exact point that we want to make, is that we don't want to see a loss of information provided to the public.
To the public, because some of the information that seems like the data products that are being negotiated are those data products that they're providing or will provide to the municipalities.
Mm.
There doesn't seem like there's any negotiation whatsoever regarding what's going to be available to the public. It's not mentioned anywhere in the document, and that's
what Chris Mahan's been working on, and it's been encapsulating. It's been taking over his whole working life right now. I've asked him about other things, municipal business, and he's like, as soon as I get this impact stuff done, like, he's really taking the initiative on this and making sure that the information comes back to the public.
Yeah, because he could lose income with this.
Oh, big time.
Municipalities
or
individuals.
A sentence that talks about ensuring that information readily available today in West Perry Sound Geographic Network continues to be available to members of the public? Something like that? It's not great wording, but it's kind of... tell me what you said just a minute ago about what is it that...
All information currently available is restored, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. That's
because this is an incredibly valuable tool
to
anyone that actually starts using this.
Yeah.
You know, why would you want to disempower anybody from being knowledgeable about, you know, the information that may be relevant to them?
And the huge principle here is transparency.
And transparency and openness.
So why are we taking something that is at least semi-transparent today and just blocking it off completely, withdrawing it completely to members of the public? On what basis? And who paid for it all to be there anyway? Ultimately, ratepayers did.
Absolutely.
Right.
We're paying MPAC.
Yeah.
We paid West Perry Sound Geography Network. We subsidized all those.
It's just high-force bureaucrats that are doing this. That's my...
Well, I think they're just going to start charging people for that information the same as they're doing with the septic permits.
Yeah.
Right? North Bay Mattawa, you know, the township always got copies of them. And now North Bay Mattawa is charging people for a copy of their septic permit. And this is what they're doing. They're going to charge people to get the information.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. For what we pay MPAC, I think it's in the neighborhood of $70,000.
Yeah, it's increased dramatically.
What are we getting?
Yeah.
Other than frustration.
Another one for Councillor Ryland's list. Writing to people, see if we're getting fair money.
Well, I mean, come on. I think you could ask 10 people from the public, not because that's the audience, but what's the right thing to do here? And it certainly isn't what they're proposing to do. How is that right?
Well, yeah, and how many people of the public actually know
that,
you know, this is being taken away from them, and they're not going to find out until they go to the site one day?
Exactly. And you're right. Real estate agents, I would imagine, and lawyers would be
the
top two
time.
Users, right?
Well, you have an option now. You can amend that resolution.
I think we should rather than leave it till Thursday or whatever it is, but now you're expecting me to write that sentence.
Or you can sign or not sign the agreement. Call the bluff. I don't know. It's up to you.
See if anything changes.
So can you drop out of it?
Can you drop out of the agreement?
Well, MPAC, having them.
Well, basically, all they're saying is that if you don't sign the agreement, then the only thing they're going to send to us is anything that is they're legislated to send to us, like the rule book.
Okay.
Or assessment notices, the supplemental billings, anything like that, requests for reconsideration, all of that would come through, I'm thinking, probably through the mail.
Mm. Request for reconsideration, that anyone can go to the MPAC site. You know, that's part of, I don't think they can take away those services. It's part of the process, the appeal process.
But when they, yes, the appeal process, that would all remain the same. But the results of any of that, Roshan will get notified by mail. He won't be able to go on to Municipal Connect and see that somebody put through a request for reconsideration, here is the decision. He won't be able to see, he won't have immediate access to, well, I shouldn't say immediate because it takes forever. He wouldn't be able to get the access for supplemental billings or OMETs, anything like that. That's what he accesses the MPACS Municipal Connect site for. Any kind of changes in assessments. If somebody's bills are wrong, and some, I know he's been dealing with some lately, that MPAC has made mistakes on things, he won't have the access to the site to be able to see that.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to be that extreme. I think he will be able to have access to the site, but he might be blocked from certain portions of information within the site.
He'll be able to go to MPAC site. He won't be able to go to the interactive site, to Municipal Connect, where he can log in as a user and download the reports that he wants, or to download sales reports that Mary uses once a month. They come out every 2 weeks that they are issued to keep civic addresses up to date for the tax bills, to make sure that they're in our accounting system, so that when we send the tax bills out, that we've got the correct information in there.
I think that that's all legislated information that they need to be able to provide. That would be just absolutely, I can't see them eliminating total access. I think they may block certain pieces of data.
Well, he won't be able to log into Municipal Connect at all. That's the thing. He'll still get access to that information. They'll still provide him with that information, but he will not have access to Municipal Connect. The interactive service will be gone.
I think the question though of this too, even if you don't sign this, are you still going to have Geography Network to turn to? I think they won't have anything. It's gone, whether we sign this or not. So that's the question. I mean, by not signing, are you saving the Geography Network? I wouldn't think so.
I'm going to read what I've written, for good or bad, but please tell me whatever I've done wrong. So, in addition to the resolution as written,
It is an amendment to the resolution.
An amendment to the resolution. Sorry, I should say that. So I've written, we object to the apparent removal of existing access to MPAC data currently available to public users, e.g. via the West Perry Sound Geographic Network, and we formally request that this access be restored immediately. And I'm unsure of the words to say that we want to forward a copy of the resolution to Doug Ford and Graydon Smith at least, I mean, and maybe others if we can determine who they might be. What kind of wording do we normally do? I should
and
know
just,
this.
Just put, and further...
Okay.
That this resolution
keep going.
Is forwarded to and then we have our list with Dr.
Okay.
Graydon Smith.
And if we can determine who else might be applicable, God knows if
well,
we get
should go. It should probably go to the area municipalities.
Okay.
And I would think it should go to the Geography Network so that Chris knows that we're objecting to MPAC withholding this information.
Do we list each into each municipality? Yeah.
Oh, no, no,
no. Okay.
Just put West Perry Sound municipalities.
Okay. My writing's getting worse the longer I go. So, at ease.
Yeah, the thing is, it has to be transferred to the other sheet. Somebody's going to have to interpret what you're writing there. Or translate.
I never said I was good at writing, but anyway, so, handwriting at least, anyhow. So.
Okay,
and
so
I don't know on the existing
resolution
whether... the last point was further authorize the mayor and clerk administrator to sign the agreement prior to the deadline. Does that go down to the bottom of all that junk?
Yeah.
It must be
well,
down
you've
there.
Got the resolution there.
Oh, Sorry.
I thought you passed it over.
You know what? I didn't know.
This is just where you scribbled.
Well, I know, but
well, that's why I did it on another piece of paper, because I thought I don't want to wreck the original. So.